Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Miller.
And this is Back Talk. Well, we're moving up to the roof on this one.
Yes, we are. Yep. We're aiming high.
It's a true story.
Yes.
Like, imagine this guy poking holes in roofs at McDonald's to get their money.
And I kind of identify with that. My nephew used to work at a pawn shop on West Broad Street, and he goes into work one morning, and somebody had broken through the roof of the pawn shop and stole guns out of it.
This is called Roof Man. It stars Channing Tatum. For me, the better star is Kirsten Dunst.
Yes. You know, and also ably assisted by Peter Dinklage as the little Toys R Us manager, who's not a very nice guy.
And underused Lakeith.
The Roof Man's, Channing Tatum's old army buddy.
Lakeith Stanfield, is he good?
That doesn't get much time on the movie, but girlfriend is very interesting. But I agree with you about Dunst. I've liked her ever since she was like a little girl. You know, Interview with a Vampire and one of the adaptations.
She has a cool...
But down to earth, one of the best scenes is when she's crying and her mascara... It reminded me of Tammy Faye Baker.
Yes, it does.
The mascara running down her cheek could play character roles and not look all that good sometimes, which she did in the movie I really liked, Civil War.
It's a true story.
Yep.
I'm feeling positive vibes about Channing Tatum.
You know, he does a very good job, and he kind of reminds me in some ways of Josh Hartnett in the movie.
Talk about that a little bit later, because I think you're right.
Somehow we can identify, I call it the Robin Hood factor, that we can identify with somebody who isn't totally bad, and he's basically a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, but come on. He robbed 45
McDonald's. And he'd break in overnight, stay there until the manager arrives early in the morning before the store opens.
Well, I think it was months that he stayed at Toys R Us, right?
Yeah, six months he was there. In real life, baby food and the candy. Here, it makes it seem like all he ate, which gave him, what was it, 18 cavities, peanut M&Ms.
Channing Tatum as the good choice for this character.
Yeah.
But you were introducing the topic that I question always. This is not a good guy. He is presented as a good guy.
Yes, a little bit more, too much so. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more myself being, you know, in the crime.
Yeah.
But as a crime stopper. A little bit more of the thefts. A little bit more of the backstory, because we just get a hint because of his buddy Steve, played by Lakeith, as an army buddy.
Yeah.
And he was not just a run of the mill. He was basically in the famed 82nd Airborne parachute thing. But he had made to be a bit too nice in this as far as the character. In real life, supposedly he was very polite. The poor workers were in the McDonald's.
In the opening, one of the opening sequences, he gives his jacket to somebody he's going to put in the freezer.
During
a heist.
Which supposedly happened in real life. I didn't hear what liberties they took. A lot of liberties with his romance with Hunts and becoming good friends with her two young daughters.
About one of the weaknesses was that they dropped those kids from his marriage.
Supposedly he was divorced and he basically wanted to give his kids decent life, and that's why he robbed these stores. But he's one of the best scenes of the movie to me was when he escaped from the prison.
Yes.
But also I was intrigued by what he did in the Toys of R Us, because he would sleep during the day but then roam around the store, and you saw him playing with the toys and playing an inflatable dinosaur, doing all this stuff. But he kind of rigged it up with monitors that he could hear what's going on. That's where he kind of picked up our horrible boss, Peter Dinklage's manager, was, and what a sweetheart Dunst character.
The choice of an actor means everything.
You know, we talked about Dunst, and I really liked her in a recent movie, Civil War.
Yeah.
Another movie that you and I had reviewed that Tatum was in, Blink Twice, that he played the bad guy, the multi-millionaire that invites people, particularly young women,
I forgot all about that one.
That his buddies, sexual predators, prey on and drug these young women. Is a charming guy who's a total sleazebag. But then he's done other ones like Macho Mike, the male stripper thing. And even a couple of movies that were basically remakes of a popular TV series, 21 Jump Street.
He played a
police detective.
So when I first saw him, was years ago, he was playing some Roman centurion or whatever. And I said, this guy's going nowhere.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
He wasn't a pretty boy. He would fit in well in either the DC universe or the Marvel cinematic
universe.
Well,
he's tall and physically fit.
Yes,
so he's
definitely
got a lot of the characteristics that women like. Plus, he's got the ears pointing out, and that makes him a little more vulnerable.
Yeah. They think he was on the spectrum. Well, Keith's character, Steve, his old army buddy, says, you know, you're the smartest dumb guy I know. You know,
that he may be a genius, but he's a total idiot.
Yes, almost a child man, very childlike in his, sometimes his mannerisms. He gets on Dunst's good side because her boss turns her down making a donation to a toy drive for Christmas. He loads up on toys that he takes over to the church. Another very interesting couple, interracial married pastor and his wife.
Yes.
And the pastor's wife, people may remember her great job in the TV series Orange is the New Black as a crazy acting female inmate. Dinklage and Jess Alley acted, opens up this money, you know, that has the dye pack and it explodes. It reminds me of one of the best scenes in the Christmas movie, Elf. Will Ferrell makes fun of, starts making, saying, oh, an elf's here and out, you know what.
All right, Wayne Miller.
Yes.
The movie is Roof
on.
Man.
Yes.
And we've been talking a lot about Channing Tatum, but also Kirsten Dunst, whom we both admire. What do you advise our audience?
I think this time of year, with Halloween, Thanksgiving, and particularly Christmas coming up, I would really recommend it because it gives you good vibes for these holidays coming up. Basically, it will teach children not to eat too much candy at Halloween, the cavities that he did from 6 months on M&Ms.
And it'll bring many of us older people back to the time when there actually was a Toys R Us.
Yes, that's right. That's what I thought was funny. I would recommend it.
I'm with you all the way. It's simple. There are characters whom you can identify with.
Yes.
You could almost bring anybody in your family who could understand what's going on. So some kid around 8 or 9 would get a kick out of this, I think, particularly with the toys.
Toys and how particularly her daughters are portrayed.
Yes.
A sullen teenager and a wide-eyed preteen really likes the guy, that they could identify with them.
And there are a lot of men out in the audience who will identify with trying to make inroads into the family of the single widow or the mother.
Divorced mother.
I saw a lot of that rang true.
That sings in the choir, works at a Toys R Us. My perfect type of woman.
Well, Roof Man isn't the highest end that we're going to be seeing as we get toward the Oscar shows.
Yeah.
But this is a good one. It's a nice one. There's so many times when a family wants to go out and they say, what are we going to see?
Yeah.
Well, they might see Tron out there.
Which is basically number one for box office.
Yeah.
But Roof Man's number two.
What I'm interested in, and what we talked a little bit about, was these guys who pull off robberies.
Yes. I call it the Robin Hood factor. And this one, because of the voiceover narration by Channing Tatum's character, helps you identify with them. And that's part of it. And one of the reviews I was saying, he said, he's still a criminal, though.
Yes.
But, which really got me thinking about all you know, the other movies where we are enthralled and like the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, to, you know, such actors as James Cagney, particularly Humphrey Bogart, because he plays a bad guy called Mad Dog Earl that really was a softy inside, robs this one place for money for a person's, this woman's operation. You know, so we're identified with that, with the recent death of Robert Redford. They talk about two of his greatest roles with Paul Newman, that they played basically bad guys, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and The Sting. But also around that time in the early 70s, Redford was in a movie, a really good heist movie where he played a thief called The Hot Rock. Newman, probably most well-known role, was in Cool Hand Luke. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't a thief, but he was in a chain gang for destroying public property.
And again, it's your choice of an actor makes an awful lot of difference. It's been over 20 years, though. Catch Me If You Can with Leo.
Since it was also directed by Spielberg, what really interested me early on with Riff Man, him hiding out, it reminded me of a Spielberg movie called The Terminal with Tom Hanks.
Oh, got it.
It was a recent...
That's a great choice.
Immigrant who lives in an airport, you know, because his country's in revolution and his visa or whatever, his passport was canceled. But, you know, back, you're absolutely right. Like Riff Man, Catch Me If You Can was based on a real
that's right.
person.
I thought we favorably reviewed recently, that is within the last few years, Trap with Josh Hartnett. You mentioned him.
I mentioned Hartnett. Yes. Unlike the good, nice guy that Tatum plays in Riff Man, that Josh's character in Trap was a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, basically. Right. He was a murderer. Yeah.
But you could identify with him in a way, how he treated his daughter and everything.
They went to a rock concert, and every father or anybody who loved kids, these teens, these surly teens.
Yeah, kind of like you said, you know, the girl Dunce's character in Riff Man. Dunce's character's daughter.
Yes,
Riff Man.
I'll tell you one that where I really like this bad guy, but there's nothing likable about him. And this would be in Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
And you know how much I love that character, but there's nothing lovable about him.
Oh, my God, no. You know, you could invite him over from a nice Chianti and some fava beans and somebody's liver.
I know.
Clooney, the Ocean's movies, Thieves, he did one, I think, with Jennifer Lopez called Out of Sight, I believe, that he played a thief, a police officer on his trail.
Well, but, one that you can't like.
Yes.
But who was a loner and a bad boy. And this would be in Mean Streets.
Oh, with Harvey Keitel and Robert De Niro.
Yeah, and De Niro playing it. And I don't think there's anything likable about De Niro. It's just pathetic, right?
Right. The trick is the identification with the person. And you know, it just popped in my head, John, that one of the things that the great director Alfred Hitchcock always said, when he was asked, why did you make your villains attractive and rather likable? And he said, you know, if they were completely repulsive, how could they get close to their victims? In a way, that kind of sums up them. If they're completely repulsive, they can't get close to the victims. Now, we're talking about really bad guys, not what I call the Robin Hood factor.
Well, only 3 years ago, we had one character whom we really liked who was a bad girl. And this would be Emily the Criminal with Aubrey Plaza.
Oh, Aubrey Plaza. That was a very good choice because I was really trying to think of women in this role. And, of course, recently, kind of a takeoff, Sandra Bullock's character playing Clooney's character from Ocean's 11.
Okay.
Another Ocean's thing, but it was Ocean's 8 with 8 women. And
Years ago, another woman, I'm not sure she was likable, but she certainly was a loner and a very bad girl. And this would be in Monster in 2003.
Oh, yeah. That
Charlize.
Oh, and totally did not look like her.
I know.
She was a repulsive character in more ways than one.
She's a serial killer. She's a prostitute than a serial killer.
Based on a true story.
I know. And she had been abused, so there's some way in which they justify.
One in 1968, and then about 30 years later, The Italian Job. The original Michael Caine pulling off a big heist, thing.
Yeah.
And then Mark Wahlberg, kind of a Channing Tatum type of actor.
Okay, good.
And what he's been in. A lot like him, but once again, you really hope that they could rip off and all these little Mini Coopers, you know, and great chase scenes.
There's another one that I don't particularly like, but I think the acting is superb. This would be the Joker. At least two.
First one was good. The second one, we saw that with Lady Gaga, was like a
not likable.
Not likable at all. A classic in literature, but also on the stage and filmed like at least three times. Les Miserables.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Yep. All he did was steal some bread for his starving family.
Yeah.
But winds up in prison and escapes. But it's essentially a good guy and turns in a very good guy.
Talking about these loners who are bad boys. There are two actors that I think did a superb job, neither one of which you could like, and these would be Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah. The last movie review, you brought up Cape Fear again. Yeah. And once again, a good movie can also have a decent remake, and this one, particularly in the original Cape Fear, the hero played by Gregory Peck, and of course the villain, Robert Mitchum, and in the second...
There's nothing about Mitchum that you'd like.
No. The same thing with Robert De Niro as the bad guy.
Yes, yes.
Nick Nolte as the good guy in... Bringing up Nolte, and this popped in my head, 48 Hours, not so much Nolte, who was the police detective, but Eddie Murphy as the thief in prison, who knows this bad guy.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
So they release him for... that he could help with Nick Nolte in tracking him down.
My final offering to you is one I kind of like him, and this is Leo again, playing in The Wolf of Wall Street. Bad boy.
He's a bad boy, yeah.
Still charming, though, in his own way.
Yep.
But I think your point is well taken. You have to have a charming actor if he's going to get inside other people's heads.
Exactly. Almost like in talking about Wall Street, the movie Wall Street, Michael Douglas's character.
Yeah.
These aren't very nice people. We entrust our life savings and retirement
and I think brokers. Your comment about Hitch is well taken. Even as you look at the audience, unless you get superb actors such as ones we've talked about, and Hitch says, look at, how are they going to get into people if they're bad boys?
Exactly. But also, bad boys, they turn them into heroes sometimes. For example, the Robin Hood and all the different Robin Hood movies, and Errol Flynn playing him, and Kevin Costner, and all these other people.
Well, that's another good point. I think that it allows us to exit with Channing Tatum in our current movie, Roof Man. There's an element of that Robin Hood-ish.
Yes.
It's possible.
Yeah.
For robbers to be charming.
Yeah. He wasn't so much as, in a way, you could say that he robbed from the rich, basically a corporate toy store, Toys R Us, robbing them of toys to give to the poor, basically giving toys to the toy drive at this church.
All right. So Wayne Miller, the movie is Roof Man.
Yes.
Not The Roof Man. Roof Man.
Roof Man.
Yeah. Don't look for him because there's no more Toys R Us anyway.
But who knows? He may, you know, if you go early enough to McDonald's, you may run into him. I assume he's still in prison.
Yeah, you know, he is. That's right.
And which is interesting. One final note.
Yeah.
One thing that he said was a group therapy thing in prison. And when he said, you know, I deserve to be here.
That's right.
Where I need to be.
Yeah. Good one.